And welcome in to the Wednesday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, Joe Rex Road here. Adam Vingan for a third straight day in for Robbie Stanley. Michelle Knezovic back in the producer spot. First of all, Vingan, it's hump day. You know, this is where sometimes people start getting fatigued during the week. How you doing, man? You all right?
You act like I haven't done this before.
Hey, man, I'm just saying.
And like I said on Monday, you act like I don't have a year and a half, an 18-month-old baby. Well, he's 21 months now, but, a year and a half.
Yeah, figure out your kid's age. Blame it on Arlo. Well, I'm just saying, sometimes like the full week of this can start to drag on you.
I will say the three-hour block, much more manageable.
Yeah. Now, the three-hour block is, I agree. Like the fourth hour now would absolutely kill me. Also, intern Brandon here. Yeah, I asked you what Brandon's name is so you could text me. Not to you, could say it out loud so he knows I forgot his name.
He didn't hear me.
Dude, yes, he did. He was laughing at me. Look at him.
Oh, he was?
He's mocking me right now.
He's right there.
I'm sorry, intern Brandon.
I did both.
Look, man, I mean, my own kid, speaking of you not knowing your kid's age, my kid's
I know my kid's age.
It took me a couple years for my kids' names to really stick with me.
Michelle's obviously still a little, I'm sure she imbibed, perhaps. During her trip to New Orleans, maybe she's still a little catching up.
You're saying she's hungover like 2 days later?
Yes.
Possible, I guess.
Yes, I am.
No, the alarm this morning, there were a couple of snoozes in there.
Yeah.
But I did have an early flight yesterday that I really almost missed.
What time was it, the flight?
I boarded at 6:20, so had to be there around 5-ish. Guys, I was boarding while I was in the line for security, and I was like, oh gosh, this could be really, really bad. And I had to pull a running, and I was like the last person to get on the plane. But we made it. We're here, and everything is all well. I was at the Titans camp yesterday. We're all good.
Yeah, you didn't seem drunk yesterday. I think you're
I'm definitely not.
How many flights have you missed in your illustrious reporting career?
So the Tennessee Titans, since I've been here, have played twice at Cleveland.
Well, okay. I guess I know the infamous Cleveland story.
Yes. We know the first time the engine blew up.
Yes.
And we had to have an emergency landing.
Can laugh at it now.
Yeah. The second time, so I covered the Tennessee BYU game with Zach, like ridiculous blown game. Zach Wilson throws the late bomb. They blew the game. Pruitt loses my all this stuff. Night game. And the next day, I have an early flight to Cleveland. I'm at the hotel airport right by Knoxville Airport. I go there like an hour and a half before the flight. The line is out the door because it's like some they have like these, like special airlines that go to like to Florida or whatever. It's like this huge. I was screwed. I'm like, I'm done. I am not making my flight to Cleveland. So I didn't. I was in there. The line was outrageous and I didn't even get close to checking in. Hour and a half before just like a flight to Cleveland. I think it was, I don't know if it was direct. It was either way. It was early morning. So I just told Mitch, who was my editor at the time, like, yeah, man, I will never cover a Titans at Brown. This year I'm driving to Cleveland.
No.
Because I have to be in East Lansing for the Benny Wong tailgate is the day before in East Lansing. And I'm like, good, I'm going to drive to Cleveland. So I'm going to finally see. I've never been to that stadium. I think it's like the last stadium I've never been to in the NFL. Not that I'm like all that excited about going to that stadium. Oh, that and Minnesota. But, yeah, other than that, I don't think I've – No, this is totally – why are you taking me down this rabbit hole? We're trying to do a show, Vingan.
I can share mine if you want.
I'll give you one more. The other one with Maui, which is the best thing to cover.
Yes.
I've been in Chicago, the connection to Honolulu. I'm just doing work, and I just completely missed my flight to Honolulu. Now, look
at – That is you in a picture, Joe.
They didn't have the announcement – Joe Rexroad, please report to the gate.
I mean, or maybe I was too far away, but I got on another one like 3 hours later, but still, that's 3 hours of beach time. So what's yours?
I did not miss the flight, but it's the only time I came close. It was at the end of a Predators road trip. They were in San Jose. I woke up. I must have set my alarm. I must have made the rookie mistake of setting PM instead of AM. Had the right time.
Oh, yeah.
Set PM instead of AM. Woke up, realized I woke up maybe 15 minutes before my flight was supposed to start boarding. Got dressed, ran downstairs. Fortunately, there was a taxi cab sitting outside the hotel. I mean, how often
taxi cabs.
How often do you have that anymore? And I don't know if you've ever been to San Jose, but fortunately the
I've been there with you, dude.
Yes, that is true. Why am I forgetting that? You have been there with me. You remember how close the airport is to downtown, and it's a small airport too. Very fortunate. I get in the cab. I'm like sweating profusely. I say to the driver, I don't care how you get there. I need to get there as fast as you possibly can. The guy was like, all right, buckle up. Like, just definitely drove
this
70.
This is like the end of a bad romantic comedy. Like, trying to get you to the wedding.
Yes, trying to stop my
love of your life from marrying your rival.
Yes, yeah. From boarding her plane to marry me and my high school rival or something. He sped 75 miles an hour, definitely ran a few red lights, definitely gave him like twice the fare plus tip because I was just like throwing money at him and ran through and got on the plane before it left. But that was, it was, if it was any other airport, I may not have made it just because of the proximity. To the hotel.
Good deal. Well, if you out there, listeners, have any great stories of travel issues, planes, trains, and automobiles, let us know on the text line or phone line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. That's 615-737-1025, and I still continue to struggle with that. Also, you know that we're in the game studio sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and we're going to talk a lot today about the Titans because yesterday was OTAs, but first, let's. I do want to get to yesterday's events, so we're not going to have complete sweeps of every single conference final in basketball and hockey, so I guess that's good. I mean, the Celtics were like, oh, don't let us win one.
Yeah, it's like, okay, come on.
I mean, I'm like again, first of all, ESPN, going into yesterday's game, still gave, with their analytics, gave them a 37% chance of winning the series. So, I mean, this is a reason to never listen to whatever ESPN analytics says. But I'm seeing people out there like, uh-oh, all they got to do is win at home now. All they got to do is win at home now, and then all the pressure's on the Heat. So do we think that this could be the first ever comeback
no.
from 3-0? No.
Absolutely not.
No.
Okay, zero.
Jimmy Butler.
Brandon shaking his head too.
Jimmy Butler will not allow that to happen.
Okay. Okay.
No, it's not going to happen.
I think the Heat like being the underdog, and I think them going into Boston.
I kind of feel like they're going to win the next game.
Is a recipe for, okay, yeah, we'll come into your hometown and close out the series.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same. It was cool to see Grant Williams do well, because I think Grant Williams has caught way too much crap, as we talked about the other day.
Can they make a called shot already for this, since this game?
You can make a called shot if you want.
Jimmy Butler with 40.
Okay. Jimmy Butler with 40 next
Jimmy
game.
Butler with 40. Jimmy okay. Butler with 40 in game 5.
Okay. I'm here for it. We've got Gentry Essence from the Tennessean at 7 today. We got Kaharski today at 8. Kaharski had another
Ask him lots of negative questions.
Oh, fantastic moment from Kaharski. In fact, yeah, actually, you know what? I forgot to tell you, Michelle. Do you know what I'm talking about? Were you there for that yesterday? Yeah, if we could get that sound next segment, that'd be amazing, and we can enjoy that
With Tim Kelly
at Kaharski's. Actually, you know what? No, you know what? I'm sorry. This is me. This is, should all go in the pre-show meeting. By the way, the choice is yours. Is Adam's edition today at 8:30? How about maybe for the rant? Ah, gosh, I don't know. Anyway,
you've got time.
We'll do it for the rant, because then PK will join us at 8.
That's what I was thinking too. Is that we can make fun of PK and then he'll come on for the rant.
Yeah, it flows nicely.
He got into a huge little tiff yesterday on Twitter about this, and I think it's a fascinating. Actually, I think it's a fascinating topic. Also, you've got the Dallas Stars just toast. They're toast.
Blink and you missed that. If you blinked, you missed that game last night. I hadn't yet turned it on. I was getting sweet little Arlo to sleep. And
hashtag blame Arlo.
And I checked the score. It was 3-0. I'm like, well, I'm not going to watch this now. I'm going to go to bed.
I mean, they've completely melted down.
Starting with Jamie Benn cross-checking Mark Stone in the head.
What's he doing?
2 minutes in.
So did he think that was going to be some kind of motivator for his team? Look at me. Let me see if I can crush this guy's head into the ice.
Yeah, that was really dumb.
Yeah.
Really dumb.
So they're toast. So we know what the Stanley Cup final will be. Are you excited for it?
I am, because got to love a Sun Belt Stanley Cup final.
Mm.
Little Florida, little Vegas.
Golden Knights Panthers. Very, very non-traditional. So that'll be
It's like the equivalent of a Denver Miami NBA Finals. You know, two teams that are not ratings darlings by any stretch of the imagination, but the true sickos out there who love hockey will will eat it all up. I will be watching intently.
And a Final Four with Florida Atlantic and Miami and San Diego State, right?
Yes, exactly.
It's been that kind of year.
So with that being said, let's all move to Florida.
Yeah.
I'll pass.
I don't know. I like reading books, so I don't know if I want to move to Florida. There's like three books you're allowed to read in Florida now. I did not mean to take you there, but you led me there, okay. Michelle. All right. Last night, Tennessee. I thought Tennessee had a chance. Tennessee baseball had a chance to host, but that is, I think, done. They lost to Texas A&M in the first game of the SEC tournament, so I think they're going to have to be on the road. Now, I still believe the way they're playing, the way they're pitching, the talent they have, that lineup really seems to brown out a lot when they're not at home. If they can hit it decently, I still think they have the pitching to get Omaha, but they're going to have to do it on the road. Vanderbilt plays tonight. If I'm Vanderbilt, I'm cool getting the heck out of Hoover as fast as possible. I think Vanderbilt's hosting. They're hosting the regionals. I think they're going to host in the Supers if they get there. So if I'm Vanderbilt, I'm saving my pitching. So there's my there's my little take on SEC baseball. And I have a lot of Titans takes, but, you know, Michelle was there too. So we want Michelle's takes. Someone on the text line has already told me just a hilarious Jared take. So takes galore on the Titans coming up next. Robbie Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie and Rexroad is presented by TJ Anderson Homes, a Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. Welcome back in. Let's just get to the Titans and the OTAs. Well, Michelle, let's go to you first. I want your big takes. Like, we're going to talk about Kevin Byard. We're going to talk about Christian Fulton, Elijah Molden. And the news of the day yesterday was related to that, to me. I don't think there was any other news that really happened. But what you saw in that field, what did you come away with? Did you watch anything but your fellow
cat, yes, I watched
Will Levis?
What I came away with is that I need to be careful videoing or I'm going to get absolutely trampled. Joe saw me almost die.
I was right behind you. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine nearly killed you. Is he still mad at us for stalking him?
Like you.
Well, you were the one who lived by him. Like, did you take his mail or something?
Yeah, I gotta be careful with that. I was not in full football mode. But yeah, you obviously mentioned the main takeaways of the guys not being there. Kevin Byard, of course, going to be a big story. But honestly, I'd say my biggest takeaway from yesterday was Chigakonkwo and Treylon Burks and just their confidence. I mean, whether it was, I know we heard them speak to media a couple, that would have been 2 weeks ago, and Chig spoke yesterday. But honestly, just the confidence in the individual drills and then when they were working with the quarterbacks a bit, especially Treylon Burks. I mean, we talked so much about how this offseason is incredibly crucial for him and how he needs to be the guy in that room. And I think watching the wide receiver individual drills, he seemed like that guy in that group, along with some of the plays he was making with Ryan Tannehill out there and some of the quarterback wide receiver drills as well. And then Chigakonkwo, I think we saw what he was able to do last year. I saw some pretty cool plays with him out there. And then just his confidence, really. I mean, I think those guys, if that can translate onto the field, obviously on Sundays, it's what we have been talking about needs to be one of the most crucial things, especially in the pass game.
We did not discuss this at all before the show, but basically my main takeaway is those two. Burks more, because we've seen Chig. I mean, I think Chig is, like, it's not a surprise. He looks really good. Also,
yeah.
Chig's going to be, an MVP for media moving forward more and more. So that's really what matters, right? I mean, think about ourselves here. But, both of them look good, but Burks, I agree. Burks looked really, really good. And it is May, and it's freaking OTAs. But think about the difference between this and, of course, a year ago when we were, like you said yesterday, Vingan, we're trying to, learn about pollen and things like that and what's going on with this guy. He's primed right now, I think, to be a key player. And they obviously have to have that. Another, I have no quarterback takes.
None.
I watched them throw. They all had some good throws. They all had some bad throws. I mean, Tannehill's better. Tannehill's the best of the three quarterbacks. If you watch Willis, I thought looked pretty good yesterday. But again, what are we watching? Basically, I would say that Willis, is getting like the twos, but they mixed up a lot of that stuff. And I just It just, I have nothing on it. You know, it's going to be a long process, and I know that, you know, Willis, there was a big crowd around him. I didn't really get into the scrum with Willis too much, but, you know, I kind of went over there a little bit, and it was what you'd expect. I mean, he's worried about himself. He's trying to improve.
Yeah, I will say I hadn't been around him since locker cleanout, and I feel like him, like in a year's time from last year to now, a lot more closed off to the media. I mean, very, very short answers, doing the best for myself. Like, I actually was a little bit like, okay.
Well, he was, I think, you know, I think if you're him, you're probably, I mean, you got the defenses up, right? I mean, they just drafted Will Levis. So, you know, those questions are coming like, what's your analysis, what's your take of that? So, it'll be interesting to see if that's what it is from now on or if it's just because this is the first time addressing that. But we'll see. But either way, we will also see his improvement once they, as they continue to progress, more reps, more football. I mean, we'll see some more football this spring. There's mini camp and there's OTAs, but I don't have much on that. I believe Peter Skoronski is going to be a guard. I think that he's going to be their left guard. Now, I don't know. You know, I think Dillard looks pretty good out there to me. I think he's moving pretty well. I mean, look, this is, again, shorts and shells, okay? But I thought Dillard looked pretty good, like in pass pro when they did get into that, and that's going to be big too. I think Skoronski is a guard. And, you know, Tim Kelly was asked a few different ways yesterday about that. I asked him, okay, well, he said a competition. I said, okay, so are they competing at left tackle? And there's no, like, straight, but that's the thing. It's like, okay, so is it a competition for left tackle and the loser gets left guard? Or is it just basically like he's just going to – and as Kelly said, they're looking for the best five, which is what you should do. I mean, I don't care. Like, to me, it's not that big of a deal if he's a great left guard. I know you took him high. If he's a great left guard, great. I mean, if that's your best offensive line, if you're weaker because you put him at left tackle and now you don't have anybody who's good at left guard, then why would you do that? I mean, you have to have your – But, I mean, I also would think that he'd be good enough to get a real look at left tackle. I'm thinking he's going to pretty much be a left guard. That's just my guess right now as of this moment. So, I mean, there's not a lot else, honestly, that to me – I thought Racy McMath, you know, looked
your guy.
Pretty good. I mean, he looked pretty good out there at times catching the ball. You're trying to figure out who else is going to help. And another guy who talked after – so much of this is about receivers because it's such a – huge question, and we're going to get into more of that later on the show too. But Kyle Phillips does look a little bit bigger to me. Talked about how he changed his diet, and he lifted, and he's trying to obviously be able to take the punishment in this league. He looks quick still, and that's one thing he talked about after practice is, yes, you want to put on the weight. You want to be able to be more physical, but you don't want to lose that little short space quickness, and he doesn't appear to have lost it. So I think Burks, Chig, Phillips, and I think the rookie Wiley. You know, I mean, I think they may have something there too. Who else is on the outside? It's not like they have no options, but there is going to have to be a pleasant surprise somewhere. To me, for them to be well-rounded enough at receiver. And, I mean, I still, right now, would probably rank this receiver room 32 out of 32. But I think there were some encouraging sights on that front yesterday.
You just have to watch their best plays.
We're getting to that, Vingan. We're getting to that.
It's called a tease.
Yeah, I know, but yeah. It's a long tease. It's like a long toss. Yeah. Well, no, since you brought it up, if anybody didn't hear – I mean, Tim Kelly. It's a pretty great. Do you actually have that audio? Right, yeah, let's listen to it now. You brought it up, Vingan. We have to listen to it now.
I hadn't said anything in the segment, so I had to interject.
Sorry, man. I was giving you a break.
So, what's the question there?
So is it your strategy or your philosophy that you look at the best film and envision that's what a guy is?
Yeah, different than some people. Obviously, focusing on the negative is no way to kind of go through life. So we don't really want to do that, Paul. We want to make sure that we're doing a good job of helping our guys go out there and reach their potential. And again, I think as you turn on the tape, you're able to see these guys make plays, and it's at the highest level of competition. So I've got to do a good job. Our position coaches have to do a good job of making sure that we're able to put those guys in positions consistently to where they can go and win.
just fantastic. So I tweeted about that.
Slap it on the T-shirt.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I tweeted about that, and then Chris Harris immediately – who gets this? I know you do. I know you don't. He immediately tweets a picture of Dean Wormer. You understand that, right?
You mess with the bull, you get the horns? No.
No.
No, that's not
that, – oh, my gosh, you millennials.
You were two youngins.
Dean Wormer in Animal House.
Oh, sorry. Why was I thinking Breakfast Club?
He was talking to Bluto Blutarski, played by – he said, fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Why am I? Why
Animal House enthusiasts, you get it. What?
Why did I think of Breakfast Club instead of Animal House? I
don't know. Okay, yeah. What is that? What's his name? Principal? I don't know. I want to apologize.
They're both related to school, so you can see where I could get confused.
Yeah, now I need to know. He's a great villain too. The Breakfast Club principal. Okay, I need to apologize to Jared because Gunner had this take on the text line now, and I took this as Jared. Okay, but I want to apologize. This is Gunner's. Comment on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. It says, I've looked for the bright side of the AJ trade, and yesterday listening to Stillman, it hit me. Had AJ still been on the team, this offense would have been too good to fire Downey, and the team would have been too good to get Skoronski. All right, yay, good trade! Good trade! So I thought that was Jared's take, but actually I just told Gunner that's a very Jared-like take. He said, yes, absolutely. I sent it in to him sarcastically. The more I thought of it, the more it sounded realistic for him to think that. Oh, so you're trolling Jared. Wow, man, you're playing chess, Gunner. We're playing checkers.
It was
here.
Vice Principal Richard Vernon.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of sounds like Dean Wormer.
You can kind of see where I got confused there.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, that segment had all kinds of weird things in it. I'd like to
Is what happens when Robbie's not here.
Yeah, when I'm on mic one, you never know what kind of ridiculous stuff will happen. Okay, wait. Don't we need to give away concert tickets, Michelle?
Yeah, let's do it right now.
Okay, so this is – why the heck – dude, I lost the concert tickets.
Don't worry, whoever wins them, Joe doesn't actually have the tickets.
Yeah, I don't have – yeah, but I – yeah, I got it. Okay. Pierce the Veil, Municipal Auditorium, May 31st. Caller 3 right now wins these, and when we come back on Robbie and Rex Show, we're going to get into the Kevin Byard, Christian Fulton, Elijah Molden discussion. More music. 102.5, 106.3 The Game has your chance to win a pair of tickets. See Dave Matthews Band at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, courtesy of Green Trees Company Dispensary, providing high-quality legal THC products. Text in the keyword band, B-A-N-D, now to the game text line at 615-737-1025 to enter to win and possibly to see me because I'll be in the building.
And that's all the prize you need.
That's right.
Not going to see Dave Matthews, running into Rex Road.
You can see me gyrating and singing along to 17-minute songs.
I don't want to ever see you gyrating.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's old man gyrating. It's not that serious, man.
It's all in the knees.
Yeah, it's more like jazzercise at this point, okay?
There's a dated reference.
Yes, thank you. We're talking – well, I just had an Animal House reference. We're talking Titans. We're talking the OTAs and the news yesterday. So, first of all, let me just – give a shout-out to Robbie Bourne, Titans PR. I got in trouble yesterday.
What'd you do?
However, I don't think that I should have gotten in trouble. So I think I
saw this.
I actually never followed up with Robbie, but I will tell you. So here's the rules of OTAs.
Okay.
You or any practice. Like, you're you can report on, like, a player, like, on a play or a player played well, things like that. You're not allowed to report on alignment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I have an opinion. I think Peter Skoronski, yeah, it's probably going to be a left guard. We'll see. I didn't report that Peter Skoronski was at left guard yesterday. See? You see the difference?
Yes.
So, yesterday after practice, but what happens is if you have interviews. So, if yesterday happened and there weren't any interviews, then no one could report from watching practice that Elijah Molden was playing safety. Okay?
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
He said it, though.
Right. So after practice, but that's what happens. I mean, Vrabel volunteered. Vrabel at his own presser was like, yeah, and we moved Molden. Yeah, so it all began. But So Robbie's, during the Vrabel press conference, sees my tweet. I'll find my tweet. I tweeted about Elijah Molden. But I tweeted about it after talking to Elijah Molden, and a lot of us talked to Elijah Molden, right? So my tweet was simply, Titans open today, Elijah Molden with lots of safety reps. Kevin Byard not being here is a factor, but Molden said he was approached after the season about playing both. Groin healed, no surgery. That's the news of the day. So I did, in the tweet, say, like, he talked about it. But because the I mean, I think Robbie maybe just read the first sentence, like, you can't do that. But then I'm like, he talked about it. So this is an interesting conversation. So maybe I'm in trouble, maybe I'm not. I don't know. I think it's fine because
if Molden confirmed it. If Molden said that he was playing safety in a on-the-record interview, then that's all the confirmation you need.
Yes. Now,
honestly, if you had quote marks around, had a lot of safety reps, I don't think it... Do you know what I mean? Like, if you had that Elijah said, in quotes, I had a lot of safety reps today, but then, like, coming out...
He said, well, you have to have a quote. But I'm like, well, but I said what he said. So
yes.
This is one that's worth talking about, you know, in the future, kind of, you know, getting this. And I'm happy being the one to get in trouble for everybody else, you know. I'm here for you all.
I remember my first OTAs. I got a text from Rex Road. Some.
Yeah, that's right. You were just like tweeting stuff, like, right as it happened. Yeah, like, uh-oh. Yeah, people get mad about that.
I tweeted a video and they were running out of the huddle. Yeah, but it wasn't in the time when you were allowed to post it.
Right.
And I'm in the Dunkin' drive through and I get a call from Rex Road. And it was like my first week on the job.
Michelle! Stop! Yeah, that's another rule is that you have to wait till the embargo. Basically, you have to wait until practice is over to start sending out your videos and your takes and all that stuff.
This is so dumb.
Well, listen, hockey guy, this is the NFL, man.
I know. Okay? It's just really dumb.
I just wait for TD to tweet it, and then I know I'm in the clear.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine being at a Predators practice and not being able to tweet out the line combinations until after they got off the ice?
I agree. I agree. It's kind of silly.
I think the main difference, I'm sure, obviously, is that not all Titans practices are open to the public.
Exactly. Well, that's true. So, yeah, like so if the they, rules if they change, are, the rules change.
The rules change. Yes. Wait, okay.
Yeah, like if they're over to the public, then people who are sitting in the stands are just tweet out pictures and videos and stuff like that. Yes. Right. So,
Fair enough. So, anyway,
all of that is to say that's the news. And I'd like you to now listen to a scintillating conversation I had with Elijah Molden, who, by the way, didn't play much last year, but I did see him at the Pearl Jam concert at Bridgestone.
So are you a safety now?
I'm both. Yeah, okay. I'm both. Yeah.
I knew that was kind of a thing that was a possibility even when you came in. But how is that? How's that going for you? How much are you doing of each?
I think it's really fun. Going from nickel to safety, I'm still still playing there. Really, just wherever they want me. I'm really excited about it just because it kind of adds some versatility to my game, being able to play multiple positions on the field. Like at the end of the day, it's going to end up helping me out. Now and in the long run. So.
Was that a reps thing, just kind of, because obviously KP isn't here, was it you kind of open up some space there? Is that just
I would think so. Coaches come to me at the end of last year and say, hey, we think you should also get to learn some safety. I was like, great, I was already on it at the time too, actually.
Obviously we know the difference between the two, but for you, from your perspective, what the transition between the two, what's that like? Is it seamless? Tough?
You're definitely. You just got to kind of get used to, like, the angles. You're deeper back there. You're kind of more, you're, like, the commander of the defense. But I think at nickel, the way I kind of communicate at that position is already pretty similar. So, yeah.
That was Elijah Molden yesterday fielding some brilliant questions.
That's why whenever I transcribe, I fast forward past my questions. I don't like listening to myself ask questions. So, cringe for you?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. But, I mean, Michelle plays my freaking Snoop Dogg impersonation when I sang rap for Katie. So, I mean, if you want cringe, there's
we
so
can
much...
play it for you at 7:45, Adam.
We've already heard it.
Yeah, he heard it this way. He had never heard it before.
I did not know the origin of that. I was going to say wonderful, but
yeah,
I don't know
it's whatever you want to call it. Yeah. So, the takeaway, first of all, Elijah Molden, yes, now that we've all talked about it, Vrabel talked about it, he talked about it, we can all talk about it. He basically is playing, he's playing in Byers' spot. So that's an interesting point. Is it okay? Kevin Byard's not here, so try it. But and Gentry's kind of asked, and we're gonna have Gentry at 7. But he kind of asked the question, right? Like, okay, so is this reps? Is it because Byard's not here? And then Molden immediately went to, they talked to me about it at the end of last season. Now, if anybody remembers when Molden was drafted, that was one of the things people talked about. Like, this guy is versatile enough to possibly move back there. So I don't think this is purely just like a reaction to Byard. I think about Imani Hooker last year. Imani Hooker, they moved him up to nickel. Vrabel loves that versatility. And I think Hooker showed he can do it, and I'm not surprised that Molden would be back there. They've needed safety depth badly. I thought maybe they draft a safety somewhere in there, or, you know, look to add depth. Molden could be the guy who adds depth. Now, of course, he's getting these reps, specific reps right now, because number 31 is not there. So, right now, at this moment, Kevin Byard not there. How big of a deal is this?
I would say it's a little deal. I know that Jared, of course, had a more.
I didn't listen. Was he flipping out about it?
He did not flip out.
Okay,
but it was not a small deal based on what I heard Jared discuss. Just because of, you know, how Kevin Byard is held up by the organization as the epitome of a leader. And that's not to say he's not a leader. From what I've seen from afar, he is quite the leader, which is what makes his absence so jarring, even though it relates to a contract, I wouldn't say a dispute, but a difference of opinion as it relates to his value. So I don't blame him for not being there. If it's based on that, if you want to play hardball, that's totally up to you. But it seemed like he was conspicuous by his absence yesterday. Like, it was noticeable that Kevin Byard was not on the field. Would that be accurate?
Well, sure. It's noticeable, of course. You're used to him being there. Now, a lot of guys who weren't there last year are there this year. Jeff Simmons, and of course, last year he had the contract situation, I guess. Derrick Henry usually isn't there, really. I don't think. He hasn't been at many. So he's there now, which is interesting. I mean, for the most part, it's pretty well attended. See, you said contract dispute, which is really interesting, Adam, because I forget who it was, but someone tweeted that yesterday, and the tweet made it sound like there's a contract dispute. There's not a contract dispute.
No.
No,
But it's interesting you said that.
Mislabeled it.
Right, but I feel like people are looking at it that way. I mean, look, I have no idea. I mean, I can't get inside Byard's head, but this is – look, the Titans have – Rand Carthon has confirmed that they asked him to take a pay cut. I think it's fair to wonder why. In my opinion, the reason why is because – well, first of all, if you're Rand Carthon coming into a new situation, you're probably looking at the roster, you're like, wow, safety, who makes that much, huh? And there's some people who – would say, like, you shouldn't pay safeties that much. And I think Kevin Byard's worth it, and it's been worth it. But I get that idea if you're coming in fresh. Also, I just think Kevin Byard has been such a team-first guy that it's probably, like, it's worth a shot. Maybe he would do it. He cares so much that he would actually do that. Also, good for Kevin Byard for not, because he shouldn't.
Also, his contract is that way because he's restructured, too, so many times. Right?
He did restructure. Was it more than once? I thought it was just once, but
maybe it was just once. But that was kind of the perspective
kicking the can a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Right. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, he'd do that again. Anybody would do that, right? But yeah, like an actual pay cut is like, no. I mean, you know, I'm not gonna take a pay cut, and he shouldn't. Now, is that why he's not here now? I don't know. But when we come back, we'll keep talking about this because there's another guy who was there yesterday, which I think is a bigger deal than Byard. I'm Robbie Rexler, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
KB's always been a guy with such high buy-in to what you're trying to do here. How concerning is it to you when that guy, you know, isn't here right now?
No, I mean, there's been years where KB hasn't been here. You know what I mean? I know KB's working hard, and we're staying in contact with him, and you know, book meets with him on Zoom and get the installation. And I mean, if we're concerned about KB and his level of fitness and commitment, that's not a concern. I mean, he has a family and he's an established player, and we would want them all here, but it's voluntary. And there were years where I didn't go to New England, and you know, communicate, and he's communicated. And so I'm very, very confident that, you know, when KB comes back, he'll be in shape, and he'll be ready to go, and he'll know what to do, and he'll be the same great teammate that he always is.
And that was Mike Vrabel yesterday responding to Gentry Essett from the Tennessean, and we're going to have Gentry on next segment to talk about this, but responding to his question about Kevin Byard, and Gentry wrote about that too. Look, I think it's not a nothing deal that he's not here, okay? It's not nothing. Kevin Byard is not just a veteran, great player and all that stuff, but he is a guy who very much shepherds the young players on this team. And so I think he finds value in these things. I don't honestly, I'm sure Vrabel's right. I don't have year-by-year attendance because, honestly, like last year, just massive amounts of attention on some of the guys missing. And it's like in the fall, we don't ever go back and say, oh, man, that dropped touchdown, that interception, that fumble. Think back to OTAs when that guy or this guy wasn't here. These things happen sometimes, and it's typically between player and management. I don't think it's player coach, player team. I suppose you could look at it a little bit differently because Vrabel now, I kind of look at Vrabel as also management, you know, not just the coach, you know. I mean, I think anything they do in the front office, I think Vrabel has a pretty, you know, strong say in it. But I can't get to the point where this is a big deal. I feel like this is Kevin Byard, you know, just kind of maybe reminding management a little bit, like, hey, man, like, don't take me for granted. And honestly, you could look at it as a little bit stronger statement than that, you know. But honestly, I don't blame him. I just don't. And I don't think it's going to be any kind of an issue with his performance when it really matters. So that's just me. I mean, you're welcome to look at this and have an issue with it. But I can't get there. I think he'll be around and he'll be there when it matters and he'll be the same guy. The guy who I think should have been there yesterday who wasn't was Christian Fulton. I mean, that's to me. And you notice, so you heard the Vrabel answer there on Byard, right? He had just seen him. Everything seems fine. I mean, you could look at that and say, Vrabel just spinning it. But I take seriously what he said. He was asked about Christian Fulton. What was his answer? No. Right?
Nope.
Yeah. Is he here? Nope. That's it. So I read into that, okay? Because Christian Fulton right now is in a situation where I'm sure he'd love the Titans to give him a contract extension. If I was the Titans, I'd be very concerned about doing that. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it right now. And it might come back to bite him because he might stay healthy this year and have a great season. But like, I just don't think he has. I don't think he's done enough in terms of staying healthy. He's been a good player, and at times I think a very good player when he's been on the field. But, like, I don't think he has any reason to be upset for not having a contract extension right now based on how things have gone. I mean, you got to be on the field.
And Teron reported yesterday that Christian Fulton has been training in Miami since the season ended. This is his tweet. For those wondering, Titans CB Christian Fulton has been training in Miami since season ended with David Alexander at DBC Fitness, who worked with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. Fulton wanted to try something different to stay healthy. Workouts include yoga and Pilates.
And then I know, like, what, somebody that mentions, like, oh, do something better than yoga. And he's like, yeah, I'm sure he's doing more than yoga. Yeah.
He's also doing Pilates, apparently.
Pilates is good, too. Now, look, I'm sure he's staying in shape. And, of course, I mean, for his career, for his future, to get a good second deal in the league, he's got to prove that he can stay on the field. He has to. Even with Fulton, again, I don't think it's the end of the world. I mean, if Fulton shows up when it matters, be at minicamp, be in training camp, plays next year, great. I mean, he needs to play well. He doesn't have a reason to be upset about it. If that's what this is. Again, it's OTAs. Some guys just miss OTAs. If I were Fulton, I would be more trying to demonstrate that I want to be here every second, listen to the training staff. And I understand some people would say, well, why would you listen to this training staff with all the injuries? Well, you know, I think these trainers probably get a little bit too much blame than they should for the situation that's going on. I think being here would be a better move for him and trying to work on whatever is going on with the soft tissue injuries, which, of course, he was called up by Vrabel doing it here. Because, like, I don't think they're going to give him a deal. And if he has a great season and he plays well and that ends up costing him, he's like, okay, well, I'm going somewhere else. Well, you know what? Then that's what happens sometimes in this league. But I can't blame them if they don't. I wouldn't do it.
I mean, Mike Vrabel, I feel like Mike Vrabel would be a terrible poker player. Like, he has a lot of tells when he's not happy. I mean, as you said, breathless support of Kevin Byard for not being there. Is Christian Fulton here? Nope.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's thrilled with it. Now, look, Vrabel also, in that quote, as he said, like he missed OTAs too. I mean, he's been on the player side of things. And if you're not happy with management, sometimes you do things like that. I think sometimes people conflate that with, like, it's some issue in the locker room. It's like with A.J. Brown last year, all this talk about A.J. cancer in the locker room. It's a bunch of garbage. He was mad at John Robinson. Who cares? Players and management have issues. It does not infect the locker room. They support each other because they all deal with this in a league where you get cut at a moment's notice. Jared from Spring Hill says on the text line driven by WilsonHyundai.com, if he's sending a message to the team, that's a bigger deal than not. So, and then he says Fulton foam rolling. I don't know what that means. I don't think he's sending a message to the team.
You don't know what a foam roller is?
No, what the heck?
You like roll out your muscles?
It's like a cylinder made of foam, but it's hard foam, and people like roll on it to work on their muscles.
To help those hammies, to help those hamstrings.
Okay, so you're saying so that's what Fulton is doing, Jared? You have this information? Did TD?
I'm sure it's part of his. I mean, like it's usually like a recovery thing, like a cool down type thing, like when you're done with your workouts.
Okay. Well, look, he needs to figure. I mean, he certainly needs to figure something out. But if I were him, I would be wanting to like listen here. I mean, this is where he's going to be during the season. These are the people going to work on him. He's got to do whatever he can on his own, of course. I mean, Vrabel calling him out tells me that, I don't know, there's something that maybe he was asked to do that he didn't do or didn't do enough of or whatever. But I feel like, you know, it's a bigger deal to me that he's not here than Byard. Jared also, by the way, Jared from Spring Hill also says Breakfast Club's very overrated. Sounds like a bunch of Wilco kids who got their phones taken away. That is absolute slander. That is absolute slander, Jared from Spring Hill. Very disappointed in you. Another guy who was not there, by the way, was Farley. And we talked about Caleb Farley yesterday since we're going through the defensive backfield. Based on Shane Bowen's comments yesterday, I mean, you know, like I think it was basically like, yeah, he's trying to work his way back. I mean, so I don't think that's Farley, like, not being there because he doesn't want to be there. Maybe he was just in the building, not on the field. It's just the constant storyline with Farley of trying to be healthy and not being able to be healthy. Chuck says, playing The Ghosts in You, which is a great psychedelics for his song, as you get ready to talk about KB missing OTA, I know that wasn't meant that way, but that was perfect. Did you mean it that way, Michelle?
There's no way she meant that.
Nope.
The Ghosts in You, KB. Don't worry, everybody. KB will be back on this team when it matters, and he'll be the same guy. He'll be the same leader. And he's earned the right to make a little statement at the expense of management after they ask him for a pay cut.
Yeah, Steve Vrabel at the golf course. What's up, dude? Hey.
Yeah. So we'll see you next week, right? Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see about that, Vrabes. Now I'm thinking of Vrabel sitting at a poker table with a big cigar, you know?
That I can imagine. I just don't think he'd be very good at it.
Yeah, he'd just like smash the table when it doesn't go his way.
He'd throw his chips on like, I'm all in, you know?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, we're going to keep talking about this next. Robbie and Rexha, 102.5, 106.2 The Game. Gentry S is from the Tennessean.